Today's reading is from Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." You've probably figured out that when I read, I tend to develop mental images and ideas about how things might work out. And when it says this man ran up to Jesus as he was setting out on his journey, I get this mental image of him running out from the city, you know, as if to say, "Teacher, teacher, wait, 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 I need to ask you something." I don't know if he has been listening to Jesus or if they just decided at the last minute to run and catch him, but whatever the case is, he runs up to him and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good?" Understand that good in this context is not a descriptor, but it's a title. And that's why Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So Jesus is responding not because he says, "You are a good teacher," but because he uses "good" as a title, and that should be left for God. So just throw that in there so we understand why he tells him, "Why do you call me good?" We know that Jesus was good because he was the Son of God and he was sinless. So Jesus goes on and says, "You know the commandments." That's just a matter of fact statement. You do know the commandments. But he does go over them. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and mother. And the man says, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth," as if to say, "Well, I guess I'm doing pretty good then. I'm okay." But Jesus, looking at him, loved him. That's very important that it says that he loved him. He doesn't make this next statement out of any sort of spite or envy or anything like that. It's strictly motivated out of love. And so he looks at him, loves him, and says, "You lack one thing." Jesus is in a position that you and I are never in. Jesus can see into the heart of a man. He can see what hindrances there are. And so he says, "Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." This man is disheartened by it because he had a lot of possessions. He was a wealthy person. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, it's unclear if this man has already left or if Jesus just turns to his disciples at this point, but he says, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at these words. And again, he says, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God." So he stresses that difficulty twice. And then he uses a saying, a figure of speech. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." That was a particular saying that was to express how difficult something might be. So twice he says difficult, third he uses a figure of speech to express the same thing. So the difficulty is man's part. The difficulty is our own hindrances, our own desires, and our own sins. That's how hard it is to go into the kingdom of God. But with man, it might be impossible, but not with God. And if it weren't for God extending his grace toward us, we couldn't be saved. There's just no way for us to do it. There's no way for us to earn that from God. But the fact that he gives us his grace enables us then to be able to overcome our sin by the blood of Jesus, and then we can be saved. Now, regarding him stating those who have wealth entering the kingdom of God, I feel it necessary to point out that he's not just talking about what we consider wealthy. In other words, we're not talking about the Bill Gates, the Steve Jobs, the really, really uber wealthy in our society, the richest people in the world. That's not all he's talking about. He's talking about, in a general sense, the fact that wealth tends to get our attention. You can't serve God and money. It divides your attention. And so if our allegiance, if you will, is to our wealth, then we can't serve God. The two just don't go together. And by the standards of which Jesus is talking and by the standards of the world today, even most of the poor in the United States of America are more wealthy than people in other parts of the world. So we need to be careful thinking that, well, I'm not a millionaire, so this doesn't really apply to me. Actually, yes, it does. It does. And sometimes we can not be millionaires, but still be kind of dominated by our wealth or pursuit of wealth or pursuit of things in this world. And that overcomes our desire to be a child of God. So we must be very careful and heed the words of Jesus within this section. Our goal must be to lay up treasures in heaven and not treasures upon this earth. We all know how necessary money is to get by in this world. We all know that, I've got to have currency to go down to HEB and buy groceries. I've got to have currency to go down and pay my electric bill, my water bill, my gas bill. I've got to have currency to go to the store and buy clothing. We're not in a barter society. We're in a currency society. And so because of that, we have to go out and work and earn that money and store it up and use it properly, being good stewards. But we have to be careful then that it doesn't dominate our lives. And we've seen a lot of prosperity in this nation. We've had a long stretch of good times. It's been a very long time since this country has experienced the Great Depression, for example, in which work was so hard to find, making money was so difficult to do, that putting food on the table was very difficult. We've been so prosperous that our society has even moved away from any sort of independence in and of ourselves, such as during the Great Depression. If you couldn't grow your own food in any way at all, then you might have a very difficult time having any food at all to eat. We've been so prosperous that people really don't grow any food anymore, except for maybe just as a hobby. I hope that we don't have another situation in which people are in that type of situation like the Great Depression, but we might. That might be in our future. We don't know what the future holds. So we need to be good stewards of our money, but serving God is still more important. Laying up treasures in heaven is still more important. So today, let's pray that we have a heart that's completely focused on serving God and our allegiance to Him and not on anything of this earth. We do what we must in order to be pilgrims in this world, but serving God is what's truly important. That's where our mind needs to be. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.